Hey K-pop fans, welcome to Journeys Through K-pop. Are you a new fan who's not sure what groups to check out first? Or are you a seasoned listener on the lookout for new groups? Do you just like hearing the ups and downs of all kinds of groups? My name is Zange. I used to be overwhelmed with the sheer amount of K-pop groups and soloists that are out there. I only stuck to listening to a couple of groups that I knew I liked and didn't bother to branch out. I just thought there were way too many options out there. However, I was eventually able to branch out because of recommendations I got from friends. They were tailored to me and the genres of music I already knew I liked, so once I knew what I was looking for, finding new groups on my own was a breeze. In this podcast, you will get recommendations of different K-pop groups and songs based on genres that you may already be familiar with. You'll also learn some of the history behind each group and where they are today. So, let's dive in! Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Journeys Through K-Pop! This week, we are covering Red Velvet. They are a 5-member girl group under SM Entertainment. The members are Irene, Seulgi, Wendy, Joy, and Yeri. And this is an interesting thing that we haven't really had before now, but they actually initially debuted as only 4 members. Yeri did not join the group until 2015. And something unique about this group is that they are extremely versatile in their concepts. Their 2 main ones are Red and Velvet. And the difference between these is Red, the songs are a lot more poppy, light, and upbeat, and their outfits are cute and colorful. Meanwhile, Velvet, we get elegant and mature songs with more mature outfits to match, for example, suits. And this distinction with these concepts is really important because at the time they debuted, most girl groups fell into one category or the other. They either did these really cutesy, happy songs, or they did these like really mature and elegant songs. So because the direction of the group was very conscious about doing both, they smashed those stereotypes to bits by proving that one group could do both of those concepts. Though it is worth noting that they've taken to combining these styles in more recent releases. Going on to their pre-debut, the members joined SM Entertainment as trainees as early as 2007, which is kind of insane. Seulgi joined in 2007, Irene joined in 2009, Yeri joined in 2011, and Wendy and Joy both joined in 2012. Going on to their debut, this was on August 4th, 2014, with a digital single called Happiness. And really interesting thing, the music video for Happiness was removed off of YouTube after about 24 hours because there were apparently some controversial background images in the video. I'm not sure what images those were. I did not know this group existed back in 2014. But they did re-upload the video after those changes were made and those controversial images were removed. It was actually a decently successful debut for the group. They peaked at number 5 in the Korean charts, and they became the first K-pop girl group to have a debut single chart on the Billboard World Digital Songs chart, peaking at number 4, and because of their early success, they won Rookie of the Year at the Golden Disc Awards and Seoul Music Awards. Going on to their first era, which I am calling the Unstoppable Red Velvet, this is from 2014 to 2019. The title tracks here are typically either Red or Velvet concept, with each of these title tracks having specific genres, and we'll cover those as we get to each track. But the title tracks in this era are Be Natural, Ice Cream Cake, Dum Dum, One of These Nights, Russian Roulette, Rookie, Red Flavor, Peekaboo, Bad Boy, Power Up, RBB Really Bad Boy, Zimzalabim, Oompa Oompa, and Psycho. Starting off with 2014, they release another digital single called Be Natural. This is a Velvet concept song, and it's very soul and jazz inspired. And this is cool in that it's a cover of a song that was originally done by SM's very first girl group, SES. So that's just really neat, a little little callback of sorts. I don't think this is the first time the company has done this. It certainly is not the last. But something else interesting to note about this song, it featured a rap section by... He was a trainee with SM at the time, but his name is Taeyong, and he would later go on to debut in NCT. However, this did not perform very well domestically, at least in comparison to Happiness. Yikes. Going on to 2015, on March 11th, Yeri officially joins the group, which is very cool. The group is now a quintet instead of a quartet. And just 6 days after Yeri officially joined the group, they released their first mini album called Ice Cream Cake with the title track of the same name. It's a red concept, it's very electropop. And thankfully, this is a huge commercial success. There is hope after all for the group, and this is also the song that nets the group their first win, which is always an awesome thing to have. Later that year, they released their first full album called The Red with the title track Dum Dum. As you can probably guess, it's another red concept song and it's a dance pop song. And in an interesting twist, the entire album focuses on the red concept musically. Ice Cream Cake had a little bit of mix of red and velvet songs on the track list, but this is all red songs. Then in 2016, they released their second mini album called The Velvet with the title track One of These Nights. This title track is a velvet concept, and it is a ballad. And quite similar to the last release, this mini album focuses exclusively on the velvet concept in all of its songs. But unfortunately, it does not sell as well as their last releases. I wonder if there's a reason behind that. It's almost like the red releases are a lot more popular. Going on, later in 2016, they release Russian Roulette, their third mini album with the title track of the same name. It's another red concept song, and it's very electro and disco inspired. And we are back to having both red songs and velvet songs in one album. That's pretty great. If you like both, you get both. Good for you. On to 2017, we have Rookie, their fourth mini album with the title track of the same name. It's another red song, because of course it is. As for the genre, it is very funk and rock inspired. And then over the summer, they release a mini album called The Red Summer. It's marketed as their first summer mini album with the title track Red Flavor, one of my personal favorite title tracks, if I'm being honest. As you can probably guess, it's a red concept song and it's very electropop. Later that year, they released their second full album, Perfect Velvet, with the title track Peekaboo. This is another velvet concept song, and the genre is FDM. It's kind of interesting, because it's the first revisit to the velvet concept in a while. Fortunately, this release is much more of a commercial success, though still not as much as the red releases. This seems to be a running theme here. Wacky and wild, whoever would have guessed. On to 2018, their first release is actually a reissue of Perfect Velvet called The Perfect Red Velvet with the title track Bad Boy. This is a velvet concept song and it is a mix of trap and soul genres. And this is actually really cool and big for the group. But they, during this year, actually perform in North Korea with a select few other groups. How crazy and wild is that? Also this year, their Japanese debut happens with Hashtag Cookie Jar. This is a mini album with a mix of Japanese versions of some of their more recent songs, as well as some Japanese originals. They are decently successful in this market, although their releases are pretty limited, especially compared to some of the other groups we've talked about on here. I think they've only had 3 Japanese releases off the top of my head. That sounds right. I don't know. Anyways, going on to the summer, they released their second summer mini album called Summer Magic with the title track Power Up. This is yet another red concept song with the genre being bit-pop, and this nets the group their first perfect all-kill. They have topped all of South Korea's real-time streaming charts with the song, which is always a pretty great achievement for anyone, no matter who you are. Later this year, they release their fifth mini-album, RBB, with the title track RBB Really Bad Boy. It's another velvet concept song, and it kind of blends funk and pop genres together. It's pretty cool. Going on to 2019, they release a trilogy of albums this year. Their first release is the Reve Festival Day 1. It's their third summer mini album with the title track Zimzalabim. This is a red concept song with the genre being hyperpop, and this is around the time I actually started paying attention to the group. I remember kind of being a little weirded out by this song, but it definitely grew on me and now I love it. Not that long later, they release their fourth summer mini album, The Reve Festival Day 2, with the title track Oompa Oompa, another red concept song with a very disco-inspired feel to it, and this is just absolutely insane to me. But Day 2 released just over 2 months after Day 1. That is practically unheard of with most K-pop groups, unless it's like a reissue or something. Jeez. At the end of the year, they release the Reve Festival Finale. This is actually a compilation album. So aside from some original songs, all of the rest of the songs on this album are every song that's on Day 1 and Day 2. The title track here is Psycho. This is a velvet concept song that is definitely very R&B genre type. And the unstoppable Red Velvet is now getting stopped because on December 25th, 2019, Wendy is injured while the group is rehearsing for their tour under the name La Rouge. And as a result of this injury, she goes on hiatus for basically all of 2020 to recover, which is really unfortunate because they are just doing so great and it's really sad to see them gone for the entire year. But that brings us to our second era, 2020 to now, which I am dubbing the return of Red Velvet. We're all eagerly waiting for the group to come back and do some really cool things. And the title tracks in this era kind of start blending red and velvet concepts together, although they still lean slightly one way or the other. But these title tracks are Queendom, Feel My Rhythm, Birthday, and Chill Kill. Even though Wendy's on hiatus for 2020, there's still some pretty cool stuff that happens this year. Like the release of Trolls World Tour, which has K-pop trolls that are voiced by Red Velvet. How cool is that? I'm not entirely sure when they recorded the voice lines for this, but it had to have been a considerable while ago. But I did not watch this movie in full, but I did see the main scene where the K-pop trolls show up, and it's worth noting that Wendy is the main one speaking lines in that scene that I watched, which it makes sense because she's fluent in English. If another member is fluent in English, I'm not really sure who it is, but it makes sense that Wendy says a lot of lines here. And their song Russian Roulette is used as a song in the movie in this scene, which I thought was really cool. Also during 2020, we see our first subunit. We have Red Velvet, Irene, and Seulgi. They release a mini album this year called Monster, and it has the title track of the same name. Then in 2021, we finally have a full group comeback at last! We've waited so long! Oh, it's so wonderful. They have their sixth mini album. It's called Queendom. It's a title track of the same name. The genre is Future House. It's great. It's lovely. It's wonderful. This is another one of those songs that kind of had to grow on me at first. It's not my favorite, but I'll listen to it. I won't, like, skip it or anything. But, oh, I was just so glad to have another release from this group at this point. It was just wonderful. Then in 2022, we have the Reve Festival 2022. Feel My Rhythm with the title track, Feel My Rhythm. And this is kind of a classical music meets dance pop song for sure. It's just really cool. If you like classical music, go listen to Feel My Rhythm. It's great. It's wonderful. And this mini album, just because of the name, is sort of a sequel to the Reve Festival trilogy from 2019, which is great to see that they didn't totally abandon that name and that concept after 2019 ended, because that was just, ooh, so cool. Also, with this mini album, the group achieves double platinum in sales, at least with this specific album. Either way, still a cool achievement. On to their second release of 2022, called the Reva Festival 2022 Birthday, with the title track Birthday. This is a blend of trap and pop, this song, and I had to dig to find this information. I don't know why it wasn't, like, out in the open or something, but this album sells enough copies that they achieved triple platinum on the charts. Why is this not more known? More people should have been, like, screaming in the streets or something. Oh my god! I digress. Going on to 2023, they released their third full album called Chill Kill with the title track of the same name. This is an alt-pop style song, and it is just crazy to think that this is their first full original album in, like, 6 years? Because their last full album wasn't even really an album, it was a compilation album. That's wild and wacky. It's still pretty great, though. Anyways, that brings us to 2024, the present day. There is one subunit that I mentioned earlier, Irene and Silgi. Three members of the group have debuted as soloists, Wendy, Joy, and Silgi, and Irene is actually rumored to make her solo debut sometime this year, so that will make it four, which is pretty cool. And their Velvet releases maybe weren't as successful as their Red releases, but they still smashed the stereotypes at the time by proving that one group could pull off both concepts. And that's pretty great no matter what way you look at it. And even though they had that break in 2020, they're still one of the most popular, well-known, and beloved K-pop groups of all time. And that brings us to our next segment, B-side recommendation times. They kind of do a little bit of everything here as well. I'm just gonna list off some genres anyways. If you hear anything you like, go listen to it. As always, we are starting off with the ballads. We have Rose Scent Breeze, Remember Forever, and Scenery. We have a couple of trap and EDM style B-sides, On a Ride and My Second Date, as well as some synth-inspired B-sides, Ladies Room and Sunny Afternoon. I didn't think we'd see this make a comeback. We have some city pop B-sides, Ladies Night and Bamboleo. And I think this is a new one. We have a couple of doo-wop B-sides, which is pretty cool. Specifically, Lucky Girl and Love is the Way. We have a Tribal House B-side, Hit That Drum, which, I'm gonna be honest, I just put it here because I think it sounds really freaking cool. anyways. We have some Seoul-inspired B-sides, Hello Sunset, First Time, and Time Slip. And at last, R&B B-sides. They have so many of these, it is not even funny. I am sparing you by only recommending you four. And at the same time, I'm also breaking my own rule because I don't like doing more than three songs per genre. But it's fine because they just have so many R&B B-sides, oh my god. But the recommendations we're giving for this are Something Kinda Crazy, Body Talk, Taste, and Zoom. And that brings us to my personal favorite. We are going with Knock Knock, Who's There for This. I'm gonna be real for like two seconds. This was literally everything I wanted Chill Kill to be when I listened to it the first time. I'm gonna be completely honest. Chill Kill kind of disappointed me, but this song immediately makes up for that song. Oh my god. It's just Knock Knock, Who's There is so hauntingly gorgeous and creepy at the same time. And the vocals are just so chilling and powerful. They send like shivers down your spine. You know, when you listen to a song and you have the immense urge to just sing that song. Yeah, that was me when I listened to the song for the first time. Fortunately, I actually had an opportunity to cover this song. This was the song that my team ended up picking for the entry round for a competition this year, so I got to sing it after all, and it was pretty cool, and I had the time of my life. That is all we have for you for this episode. As always, we have a link in the episode description that takes you to a playlist with all of the songs that I talk about in this episode. If anything sounded interesting to you, I highly, highly encourage you to check it out. We will see you next week with BTS. Hey, K-pop fans, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please take just a moment to leave a review and share it with any friends who might enjoy it. Also, be sure to subscribe to Zange's YouTube channel, Zange DuPont. It makes me so happy to know that you're enjoying this podcast. I'll be back next week with another episode. Later!